May I speak to you in the name of the living God.
Amen.
With that fanfare, I feel like I should have been mounting some huge pulpit somewhere. And the kingdom of heaven is like, and Jesus tells us that a lot and gives us word pictures, if we will, of what it's like. And what it's like is it's made up of all varieties and sundries of people. It's like Al Capp, the writer of Little Abner. Anybody been around long enough to remember Little Abner? And he was asked once where he got the idea for creating such odd-looking characters. And he said he'd just come to gatherings like this and look around. The kingdom of heaven is just like that. Made up of wise and foolish, good and bad, right and wrong, those who are in, those who are out. But why is it that we always feel the need to put people in such categories of judgment? As if one group, one person is better than the other. And for example, in the story today, all are equally worthy of condemnation. And not many are worthy of praise, and yet they all make up the kingdom. We're told right at the end of the gospel what the unifying principle or the unifying issue is in this whole thing by being told, so, stay awake. Because what happened in the story is that whether you are bridegroom or bridesmaid, wise or foolish, apparently everybody fell asleep. Everybody. I mean, the bridegroom was late, so he probably got up late, slept in. And all the bridesmaids, those with and without oil, fell asleep. But only some were shut out. Only some. And speaking of shut out, where's the bride in all of this? We've got bridesmaids and bridegrooms, but no bride. One of the things that that has changed over the centuries is the way in which weddings are done. You know, now it's all about the bride. In this day and time, it was all about the groom. You know, the bridesmaids are attending the groom, not the bride. Not a bad deal. The truth is, the bride and the bridegroom would have arrived together. But in the telling of this story, it is altered just enough to show us, as an analogy, if you will, that the bridegroom is a figure of Christ. And so all attention is on this character. I wonder what would have happened in the story had the bridesmaids simply waited with sputtering lamps and dwindling lights. What would have happened if they just waited in the darkness? I mean, there's already five other lamps lit. How much light do you need? The mistake, if there was one in the entire story, other than the fact that the bridegroom was late, talk about, that was a major faux pas. But other than that, the biggest mistake was is that they left. They left when they should have stayed. The bridal couple surely would have welcomed their friends into the light of the banquet, of their presence, and would not have been terribly concerned about the state of their oil lamps. They'd have been happy just to see their friends. But it would have taken a little bit of faith and of trust to wait with such frailty and such honesty. And not wanting to look foolish, they ran out to get what they needed. How often we do that? Because we don't want to look foolish or to admit our mistakes, we go running all over the place, banging on doors in the middle of the night to somehow replenish our little oil lamp, just to make it shine brighter, instead of just saying, oops, sorry, I messed up. The fact is, no matter how thin our light might be, no matter how dark the night is, we're supposed to wait, not seeking to be anything other than present, right where we are. Because that's where Christ comes. And we have to trust that in the end, when Christ does come, when the bridegroom arrives, that it won't matter whether our tiny little lamps are flickering still or whether they're extinguished altogether. Like, anybody's going to be impressed with our little light anyway. Which brings me to those who had plenty of oil. What is it with them? What, they couldn't spare just, they brought a flask with them. Could they not have shared just a little bit? Those wise ones who chose their needs over the needs of others, what are we to do with them? You know, truly, I can think of nowhere else in all of Scripture that we have afforded such selfish behavior such an exalted place. And they were just rude and selfish and inhospitable. And for such behavior, we've called them wise. They were just mean. No, we're not going to share with you because we might not have enough for ourselves. So much for wise and foolish designation, it seems. Because both of them are operating on the same principle, and that is the premise of scarcity and fear. Neither trusts that the bridegroom will accept them just for who they are. Neither trusts that the bridegroom will embrace them all, regardless of whether they walk in the light or in the darkness. None of them remembers the words of the psalmist, who reassures us that to God, night and day are both alike. So the wise break up the party, and they send the foolish away to beg and bang on doors in search for their oil. And by the time they get back, they're ostracized. They're left out in the cold and the dark. But they've done nothing wrong. They bear no sin other than leaving to try to impress the groom. They wanted to please him. And so they've gone to amazing lengths to scrounge up oil while the rest of the town slept and the wedding party feasted. The traditional take on this passage continues to praise behavior that runs counter to everything that Jesus ever did. The gospel of radical inclusivity and compassion. We still do that from time to time, as praise as wise ones those who refuse to share with the have-nots. We celebrate the wise ones who are responsible all too often for the cold hell that the foolish must endure just because they are lacking in resources. When Jesus gets to the end of a long series of stories that he tells, stories about the kingdom of heaven that include this tale of the bridesmaids, also includes the story of the talents and that of the sheep and the goats, he finally informs his listeners who were the truly foolish and who were the truly wise. In the end, Jesus says that on their way to heaven, those on their way to heaven, that is, will be decided not by what they have, but by what they gave away. whether they fed the poor, whether they welcomed the stranger, whether they clothed the naked, whether they visited the sick and the imprisoned, whether they shared what they had, even their oil. If they hoarded what they had, they, of course, have already received their reward. Comforting, for sure, but temporary. The wise on earth, they had their wedding feast on earth. But that is not how it will be in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you. I can guess about you. We never really know what's going on with somebody else, but we can know what's going on with ourselves. I know that there have been times when I've been the foolish one whose lamp had run out of oil for many reasons. I've also been one of the wise ones who feared sharing what I had and losing what I had. I've also been the bridegroom who refused to let people in. And maybe in the end, that's what this parable does. It does what all good stories do, and that is it allows us to find ourselves in that story, warts and all, oil and no oil. So if you find yourself from time to time feeling like a foolish bridesmaid, remember, just stop and wait in the darkness. Don't run from it. It's a holy place, and God will meet you there. And if you're feeling yourself feeling like a wise bridesmaid, remember to share what you have, even if it frightens you. Don't trade temporary comfort for lasting and beloved community. The chance to give of yourself is a holy place, and God will meet you there too. And if you find yourself feeling like the bridegroom, remember, open the door wide to the banquet feast. Don't let hurt feelings and fear insulate you from others. Welcome those who have made mistakes and who walk in darkness. Welcome them into that holy place, for God will certainly meet us all there. Amen.